Our scripture reading this evening is taken from Hebrews chapter 10. We'll begin reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, and we'll read into chapter 11 through verse 13. The text for our sermon is taken from the first two verses of chapter 11. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19, we hear God's inspired, infallible word. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despot unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We read God's word that far. As I stated, our text is verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Beloved our Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle writes in the context of great apostasy among the Hebrew Christians, referencing tremendous persecution that required of them tremendous sacrifice. They were tempted to forsake the faith, tempted to deny Christ. In order to encourage the saints, the apostle directs their attention, as we've seen, to the excellency of Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of all the types and all the shadows of the Old Testament. And having set forth the glory of Christ, especially as the high priest, the apostle in chapter 10 admonishes the saints to persevere in that faith, which we saw was a reference in verse 23 to hope. In verse 39 we read, "We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Chapter 11 continues that theme. The apostle encourages and he calls the saints now to faithfulness by stating all of these examples of those who have gone before them. Look at these saints. But the focus is not on these saints only. The focus is on the power of faith that God worked in them. This is the power of God unto salvation. The temptation of the saints was that their faith was lagging. They were beginning to become fearful and doubtful. They were inclined, due to the persecution, to just go back to Judaism. Don't go back, the apostle says. Don't lose heart. And he admonishes them to patience or to endurance. Look at these saints. See in them the power of faith. Endure, press on, and do so by that power. That's the meaning, the significance of Hebrews 11. The focus, again, is not on the individuals in order to glorify them in any way. The focus is on God, on His glory, on the power of faith that He works in the hearts and lives of His children. It's my desire to preach a series of sermons carefully through this chapter over the next months, Lord willing. Our fourth and fifth graders are going to be memorizing this chapter this catechism season. And so this is intended also to be an inspiration then to them as they take up that memorization. We do so in order to hear the word of God concerning the power of faith. We too live in the midst of so many challenges all around us. Fear, doubt, concern with regard to COVID, with regard to the election, with regard to the economy. We're inclined, like the Hebrews of old, to become discouraged, to become cast down, disheartened, even possibly to despair. God calls us to keep our focus on Him, on the power of faith that He works in His elect by His Spirit. And He assures us that we are to be, in that way, witnesses then to His power. We look at this under the theme, the power of faith. Noting, first of all, that faith. Secondly, the foundation of that faith, which is the Word of God. And finally, the fruit that's evidenced. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is as close as the Bible comes to giving us a definition of faith. But we have to understand the sense in which the apostle here is talking about faith. We generally define faith as a bond that unites us to Christ. Lord's Day 11 in the Heidelberg Catechism speaks of faith as the engrafting. God takes us and engrafts us to Christ. Faith from that perspective, as to its essence, is the bond by which we're united to Christ. Christ earned all the benefits of salvation. He earned everything that's necessary for his saints. How is it that we are the recipients of all of those blessings? Faith is that bond. Faith is that pipeline. Faith is that means by which all those blessings become ours. Now, this faith is a gift from God, according to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. God establishes it. Grafting is a beautiful illustration that points to the fact that it's all of God. Man can't graft himself into Christ. A dead stick can't graft itself into a tree. God is the husbandman. He's the one that takes the dead sticks, totally depraved individuals, and grafts us into Christ. So that the life that we live is Christ's, and we live out of Him. Now, faith is in no sense, then, a work of man. Faith is not a condition that we must fulfill in order to get saved. All the work that makes us worthy of salvation has been performed and completely accomplished by God. Faith is included in that salvation. Jesus Christ earned faith by His perfect obedience. Faith is part of that salvation, that gift of God to His elect. Some say faith is the hand by which we receive or accept salvation from God, as God offers it to us. We reject that idea, again recognizing a dead individual can't receive or accept anything. And besides that, faith is not a mechanical means like taking something from someone else with our hands. A natural man would never accept salvation. Faith is the bond by which God takes His elect and joins them to Jesus Christ. So that the life that we live is not ours, but the life of Christ. All the blessings of salvation are bestowed by faith. He is our wisdom, our righteousness, our knowledge, our holiness. In order for us to be the recipients of all of those blessings, we need to be found in Christ. And faith is that bond by which we are united to Christ. Again, this faith, we don't possess of ourselves. It's strictly a gift from God. Now, concerning this faith, we talk then about the essence of faith as that bond, and then the activity of that faith as it shows itself in the life of the child of God. Faith, as to its essence, is that which transforms a man, a woman, a young person, a child. That one is transformed as to the whole of his or her being. He or she was earthly, not capable of comprehending spiritual things. But God takes hold of that one, and by the gift of faith, enables that one now, as to his mind, soul, will, and all aspects of his being, to comprehend spiritual things. He's found in Christ, and he's able to live out of Jesus Christ. Faith, as to its essence, then, is the fitness to believe, in distinction from the act of believing, which is the activity of that faith. By faith, we're given all the blessings of salvation as God's gift. We can talk about that faith as an essence in this sense. A child is born with all that is necessary for that child to become. That child may become an outstanding musician. Already within that child are those gifts, the faculty necessary that will be developed in later years in order for that to be achieved. God grants us by faith all that is necessary as His children, living out of Him. Faith is that bond that unites us to Christ. And without faith, it's impossible to believe. By faith, we are able to believe. And that faith comes to expression then again in activity. The power of faith, that bond, is the same for every one of God's children. The activity of it fluctuates and changes from one individual to another. We talk about faith bearing fruit or bringing forth fruit. The fruit of faith, as Lord's Day 11 points out, is knowledge and confidence. The activity of faith, that is the fruit of that bond, can sometimes be seen very readily. At other times, it's very weak. Sometimes it seems as though it's died out altogether. When we talk about one's faith being strengthened, we're talking about the activity of faith. The power of faith is the same in every elect child. They are united to Christ. The activity of that faith is that which will differ. But by the power of faith, God preserves and keeps every last one of His children by His Spirit, so that all are kept in Christ and preserved to the very end. That activity then is found in varying degrees in the child of God. Varying degrees at varying times of his life or her life. This is the work of God's grace by His Spirit in the heart of His children. And God uses means to strengthen that faith, to encourage us in the faith. Now, faith is viewed here in Hebrews chapter 11, not as to its essence, but as to its activity. This is not a theological, a doctrinal definition of faith. We have here a description of the power of faith as that faith is seen in the lives of God's children. How does that faith, how does that bond with Christ show itself practically in your life and in my life? The fact that the chapter takes that approach is very evident from the examples that are given. The examples of various saints and how that power of faith came to activity in their lives and was evident in their lives. Again, the point isn't to extol men and women. The point is to demonstrate to you and to me that Jehovah's power and His faithfulness is seen in this wonder work. These men and women were sinners. They deserved to be cast off. But it was the power of faith working within them that moved them to live in a certain way, to make decisions, and to do what they did. It was the power of faith that gave to them their, so to speak, greatness. And that same power of faith is the faith at work in you and in me as God's elect children. This chapter, then, is a treasure in which Jehovah God, as the master teacher, lovingly sets before His children that which is most crucial for our salvation and assurance. Salvation is by faith. Faith alone. And faith is a gift from God. And therefore, that salvation is sure. Now, this chapter presents a brilliant series of examples bringing out some of the most treasured Bible studies in the Old Testament. We read of the heroes of faith. And in the midst of all of the faithlessness in our age, God directs us to these saints. This chapter is written with a design to strengthen the faith of believers. This chapter is a chapter with purpose. Again, the Jews were being persecuted. They were facing the loss of their possessions, their livelihood. God sends His word to them to encourage them in the midst of all the struggles and challenges of life. Don't doubt God's promises. Don't doubt God's word. God's word is sure. They wondered, will Jesus really come? Does it make sense for us to keep on looking forward to and waiting for His return? It would seem as though everything was futile. Why go to church? What sense is there in living a godly life? Why pray? The aim of the chapter and of Jehovah God is that we might know the power of faith and that we might live out of that faith, as did these saints. The apostle is writing to believers. He's writing to the church of Jesus Christ, and he assumes the presence then of faith in their midst. His purpose is to strengthen them in that faith in Jesus Christ. And so he points to the faith that the saints had, the Old Testament saints. Their faith was in God's word and the promises of God's word. Centrally, the promise of the Messiah. And knowing that promise that God would send a Savior through whom they would experience deliverance, they laid hold on it. They lived out of that promise and for the sake of it. And the chapter sets forth before us this fact. Faith is very personal. Faith is the assurance of everything that God has set forth in His Word and everything that God has promised. And here we see a gallery of noble portraits of sinful saints united to Christ who believed what they could not see, the unseen, who trusted promises they could not fathom, and patiently waited for the things for which they hoped. It's important for us to understand the phrases that are used here in this verse. We have a parallel construction between the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The word substance here is the Greek word for foundation. So the foundation, it refers to something that's firm, something that's lasting, something that's sure. In three of the four places that we find it in the New Testament, it's translated confidence. So the idea here is the solid foundation of things hoped for. And the idea is that faith gives us then that confidence, that foundation. The word evidence is a word that's used for prove or test or conviction. And the idea is that the power of faith works conviction or evidence of the things that can't be seen. Faith, then, to bring the two together, is the confidence in, the foundation, and the evidence of, the proof or conviction concerning the things hoped for and unseen. Faith takes place where things are hoped for and unseen, not yet possessed. Faith is dealing with the future. Faith relates to those things that we don't see yet. The things for which we hope, but we don't yet have the fullness of them. Now, what are those things hoped for and unseen? They're the spiritual blessings that the believer has in Jesus Christ. First of all, they're hoped for. And we noted last time that hope is that which is future. It's that which is sure, that which is certain. That is, these are the certain, sure blessings of God for the child of God that remain yet in the future. Though now we have them in principle, we don't yet experience the fullness of them. The perfection that we look forward to. Now we wrestle with sin. The old man continues to tempt us. But we look forward to that day when the battle will be over. We will be able to know the fullness of the joy of that perfection that awaits. The hoped for things are spiritual realities. The things that go beyond the things of this life to the things of heaven. Of the New Jerusalem with all of the perfection and all the glory that awaits. Now that hope is certain, it's sure in Jesus Christ. These spiritual principles are ours already, they belong to us, and yet we don't experience yet the fullness of them. And so we look forward to the fullness. We believe that that fullness will be realized. But secondly, they're not seen. At the same time, they're not imaginary. The unseen things are not visible with our earthly eyes and senses. But they're the events, they're the history of God's covenant promises. They're all the blessings and benefits of salvation that Jehovah God has earned for us through Jesus Christ. Our senses are designed for the things of this life. And so, it's the things that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive. We see with our earthly eyes, and our understanding is of the things here below. But these things belong to a higher, more glorious life. And it's that which our earthly, finite minds can't wrap themselves yet fully around. Now again, what's included in these things? The whole future of the child of God belongs to these things. All the works of God regarding our salvation, regarding our life here below, that yet must take place. The whole of God's providence with regard to your and my life, as it yet is to extend on this earth and then to glory. God's works are works that pertain to every aspect of our living. And the works of God are spiritual works. He's working, we believe, a perfect work. He's begun a work within us, and He will take it to the perfection that awaits. Faith gives us confidence. Faith gives us proof concerning those things. There's a longing for the fullness of glory, and there's a longing for the realization of those things that we now know, and we believe, and yet the fullness of which we've not yet been able to realize. All those unseen things are revealed in the Bible. They belong to the life, to the work, and to the being, ultimately, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We go forward in life, trusting, even though we can't see what's going to happen tomorrow, God has it in His plan. And God has it all worked out perfectly. God has all things pertaining to my life and my conduct worked out. And He knows precisely what's necessary to bring me to my place in glory. And so I can't hold on to what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't see tomorrow. But I go forward by faith with a confidence on the basis of God's word and a conviction concerning those things that I can't see, that my Heavenly Father is ruling all things. He's seated on the throne, and He's appointed His own Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for me to rule all things on my behalf. Faith is at work for good in your and my life, enabling us to lay hold upon and to believe that those things are true, they are real, and God will realize it in His good time according to His good pleasure. Faith makes those spiritual things, heaven and glory, a reality for us now. So that now I believe that I have eternal life. Faith makes the marvelous works of God our own. I am righteous in Jesus Christ. His holiness is mine. These unseen things, these things that I can't fathom, I can't fully wrap my mind around with my earthly senses, they are real and they belong to me. And faith is the evidence, the proof of the certainty of those things that even though now are not yet able to be seen. What is it that controls your life and my life? It's not what we can feel. It's not what we can see. It's the unseen spiritual principles that we lay hold on by faith. So this faith then needs a basis. Faith itself isn't the basis. There are some that would argue for that, but that's not the idea of our text. The context of Hebrews 11 makes clear faith is based on the revelation of God. And that becomes evident from verse 3, again from verse 13, and we're going to see it again and again. Verse 3 makes reference to the fact that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and laid hold on them. They knew God's word and the promises that were found in God's Word. Your confidence and my confidence rests in the Word of God. Faith is not just some subjective feeling. Faith lays hold of objective truth, God's Word. What is it that gave Abel the confidence and assurance that his sacrifice would be pleasing to God? His parents taught him the Word of God with regard to sacrifices. He knew that God's desire was the sacrifice of a lamb. And as he brought that sacrifice by faith, he did so on the basis of the Word of God. The believer bases his confidence, his longing, on what God has said. The Word of God, the promises of God, are that which serve as the foundation, the basis of faith. The Word of God was behind Noah building the ark to the salvation of his family. God commanded. God worked obedience in Noah. He laid hold on that Word of God by faith. The Word of God was the power by which Abraham rested and which moved him to forsake his parents, to forsake his family, to go to that land that he had never been to, that God would later give him. Faith rests on the Word of God. And faith finds her basis on God's Word. How is it that you and I enjoy that faith that lives within our hearts with conviction and with assurance? It's because that faith is based on God's Word and God's promises. God's Word, which alone is true, and His promise, which stands. And so you and I must live on the basis of God's Word. We study God's Word. We read it. We listen to it. We live on the basis of it. And we will not be let down. God promises, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will provide your every need. God's Word says Jesus is coming again. He's coming again on the clouds of glory. God says all things are working together for your good. Now we can't see that. We can't fathom how it could all come to pass. And yet, we press forward by faith, trusting God and His Word and believing that His Word is true. Beloved, there's no other solid basis to be found in the world. In the midst of the world, everything is uncertain. There's unrest, there's fear, there's terror. But God's children live on the basis of the Word of God. That Word of God, as it's centered in Jesus Christ. The only reason why you and I have hope is because of Christ and His perfect work on our behalf. His work on the cross opens the way to everlasting glory. Apart from Christ, there would be no eternal life. But in Christ, there is that life that will not end, but goes on forever. There would be no assurance that providence is going to work all things together for my good. Jesus Christ is the revelation of the love of God. How do I know God loves me? He sent His own Son. Jesus Christ came into this life, born in poverty, in order that He might make me rich. That I might know the wonder and the joy of the salvation that is found in Him. He was willing to die in my place so that I might live. The Word of God in Jesus Christ is the solid foundation of faith. Faith then is not illogical. It's not merely emotional. Faith has as its basis God's Word. The child of God, the Christian then, believes what is revealed in the Word of God and what is expressed by God in His promises to be sure, to be true, and he submits to that Word. Now in some instances that requires of him obeying the commandments that God gives. God came to Noah and said, build an ark. In other instances it involves trembling at the threatenings of God. We embrace the Word of God, the promises, the commands for this life and for the life to come. And the principal acts of faith are demonstrated in laying hold on God's word in Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, resting in Him, living out of Him. That's the activity of that bond that unites us to Christ. That bond will show itself in the child of God laying hold upon the word of God in Jesus Christ. Faith always then rests on something outside of itself, the objective word of God. And faith is the essence then of things hoped for, the substance, the proof of things not seen, when it lays hold on the word of God and the truths that God has set forth. Everything else is going to fail. This world and everything in it is going to be burned up. But God and His word give us that which is sure, and that which is certain, and that which gives to us then that confidence. What is the fruit? For by it the elders obtained a good report. That activity of faith is revealed in the life of those who are united to Christ. How do we know that faith is indeed the power of God unto confidence and assurance? Here's the concrete evidence. Look at the power of faith in these saints. Look at what God accomplished in and through these individuals. Now the reference there to elders is a reference to the Old Testament saints. They lived by the power of faith. That which alone explains their attitude in the midst of trouble and the midst of persecution, that which explains their outlook, is faith. By faith they lived and moved and had their being. And that faith bore fruit in their lives. That faith united them to Christ. Their salvation was by faith alone. That faith, a gift from God. Therefore, their salvation, all of God. And Jehovah God worked in their lives evidence of that faith. Now notice the way in which they received it. They obtained a good report. For by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. The word obtain is in the passive sense. They were given a testimony by God. God gave them the testimony that you are righteous, you are holy in me. By faith alone, God bore witness to them. He gave them a good testimony. He counted them as worthy in His sight. Their witness then, again, is nothing for which they can take credit. It's the work of God's grace. The fact that God worked faith in their hearts. And that faith bore fruit. Their witness in the final sense is that they attained to the promise, eternal life through Jesus Christ. For that they longed. For that they looked forward to. And God gave them that which was their desire. Such faith, such hope they had. A faith and hope that inscribes their names on the pages of the Bible and sets them before us as examples of the power of God's work in them. God working the fruit of His own work of grace in the lives of His children by causing that power to be seen. They obtained a good report. They were well reputed of and received approval from God. Men hated, men despised, men tried to kill them. But God preserved and God kept them. And that testifies again to the power of God's grace and goodness in their lives. Faith was that power. It wasn't the law. It wasn't circumcision. It wasn't any other work they performed. Faith was the power that distinguished these men and women. And that faith, a gift from God. Now, evidence of that power of faith is seen in the fact that God's children, His elect, persevere. They persevere in faith and they persevere in holiness. We're not of those, the apostle says, that draw back unto perdition. Verses 38 and 39 of chapter 10. We're those that believe to the saving of our soul. God's children, every last one of them, will persevere in the faith and holiness to the end. And they will receive the salvation then of their souls in that final day. The apostle here is not casting into doubt or question the perseverance of the saints. The question is not, will the elect persevere? They will persevere. Every last one of them will persevere. But the question becomes this: am I numbered among those who are the elect? Will I persevere? How can I know that I am numbered among the elect? And the apostle identifies the fact by believing, by persevering in the faith, by walking in that faith. You give evidence that you are united to Christ and that you have that wondrous goodness of God that He's worked within you. Now, how is that power of faith seen in your life or in my life? Beloved, this is the faith and the hope that lives in the lives of God's children. We possess this faith, which is grounded on the Word of God and the promises of God. And God works within us a clear understanding and sense of His revelation concerning His covenant, concerning His faithfulness. He's given us His Spirit as an earnest in our hearts by which we're able to know the wonder and the joy of that salvation. We live out of that power. And we live out of that hope with our eye of faith focused on Christ, living out of Him and showing forth His praise. What is the testimony concerning your faith, concerning my faith? Is it that it's weak, it's faltering? Then we go back into the Word. We delve into the Word. We rest in the Word and in Christ's work on our behalf. Is it that I'm fearful? I'm filled with anxiety as I look around me and I see everything that's taking place around me. Then I go back to the Word of God. I read the promises. I delve into His Word in order that that Word might more fully live within my heart and my soul, and that I might live out of it. God's testimony in your life, in my life, will result in God getting all the glory, receiving all the honor. We're going to be coming back to these verses in verses 1 and 2 here repeatedly as we proceed through the chapter. But again, we remember the context of the epistle. The apostle warns them, don't give up hope. Don't turn from the gospel. Stand fast. Be faithful. Persevere. And as we enter into the details of the power of this faith, beloved, this is a tremendous encouragement for us individually and for the Church of Jesus Christ. The devil is at work in our day. We are weak. So easily we would be brought into temptation. So easily we would be caught up in the fear and the terror of the society around us. But faith is the answer for the child of God. In the midst of all the doubts, all the fears, all the terrors, all the challenges of life, faith is the answer. In light of my sinfulness and my depravity and my unworthiness, faith is that which is the answer. The way may be hard, it may be long, it may be discouraging. Sin and evil multiply. At times it seems as though we can't overcome those temptations in our lives. But I have the gift of faith. And I possess that faith, that same faith that God gave to His children from the very beginning, to the fathers, the heroes of faith. And by that faith, I have a foretaste now already of the glories that will be mine when God fully realizes those promises. That power that preserved the saints is the power that is within me. And I lay hold on God's Word. I lay hold on the promises. And I look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of that faith. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, strengthen us. We are weak. We are sinful. So easily we are caught up in the fears and the concerns and the cares of this world. So easily we would pursue our own will and our own way. Cause that we might live out of that glorious union that is ours in Christ. That faith might be strengthened. And that more and more we might give evidence of that faith as we live unto Thee. Showing forth the fruits of it in that glorious hope. That hope that looks to Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.